Great God, who created us, we give you thanks for the wisdom that you give to us. And we ask for a small portion of that today to understand your world. Amen. So this is the second season of creation, year A. And we, actually, in case you are trying to figure out why what we're doing is maybe slightly different from what another United Church is doing, we are currently following the season of creation that was developed in Australia. And the reason that we're doing that is because I provided all of that information to the Seekers group. And so they are following along with us in their small group reflections. And so today is Land Sunday. Last week was River Sunday, though we spent a lot of time on land. This is Land Sunday. I am a migrant to this land. I am a Manitoban by birth. And after almost 30 years in this place and 25 years in Richmond, I still sometimes long for the great blue skies of the prairies and the scents and colors of that place that was my home. But this is my home now. And like many migrants and immigrants, I have struggled with what it means not just to love the land in general, but to love this land in particular and to understand it. I have wondered, as we talk about reconciliation and the displacement of the Coast Salish from this place, what right have I to be in relationship to this land? And so I was very touched by a talk I heard by Reverend Nettie Astudillo. He called the talk, "The Right to Love the Land." Reverend Astudillo immigrated from Venezuela to the United States, and he lives in the middle of all of that American angst about increasing immigration from Latin countries. And as he has lived in the U.S. now for 10 years, he has tried to deal with the swirling emotions that go with the truly profound sense of dislocation and loss from the land that he loved in Venezuela, to his profound desire to care for the new land that he now lives in, and all of the things that go around this land, both political and otherwise. And he wonders whether or not he has the right to love the land that he now resides in. He wonders about whether he has that right, and what does that say about who he is? What is his identity now? So many of us are from somewhere else here, Manitoba, Ontario, Nova Scotia, from Switzerland and Ireland and Britain and Germany, from Quebec and New Zealand, from the Philippines and Singapore and Taiwan and China and Kamloops. Canada is a nation formed by immigration. We might say colonialism, but at its best, and let's talk about the best, we are a nation formed by immigration of people seeking a new place and willing to work for it, and struggling to create an identity that is faithful at our best. We aren't always at our best. So if Canada is a nation formed by immigration, Richmond is a place being formed by immigration, by people like me, by people from everywhere else. The eco-theologian Jay McDaniel says that justice means faithfulness to relationships. And when I try to understand the idea of ecological justice and other kinds of justice, and as I watch my community grow and change, and as I try to make new relationships with new neighbors, both those who are born here and those who have just arrived, I realize that love and care and responsibility for this land, this place, is part of the foundation of those relationships. The idea of faithfulness in relationship applies in this kind of circular way, our relationships to land, to one another, to the place that we're in, to the community that we make, to the land, to one another. And so I need to work within the tension between our environmental responsibility and the social structures that seek to dislocate us and alienate us from the environment and the place where we live. So I'd like to talk about the news. Our news stories are full of the struggles between those things, between our desire to care for the environment and the way we've structured our society. Those who want to put oil pipelines across sacred rivers and through neighborhoods of thousands of people, the need to get coal from mines to factories and jet fuel to airplanes. We've structured our culture around cheap fuel of the past and now find ourselves indentured and enslaved to social structures and urban design based on cars. We love the flexibility. God, I love my car. God, forgive me. And we love the freedom, and so we like to ignore the cost. We struggle with the need for housing and the desire for food security and environmental stability provided by the agricultural land reserve. The news is also full of the stories of corruption around those decisions and the difficulty of decision-making even among people of goodwill and integrity. These are not particularly Christian questions. The answers are not the sole territory of Christians. But we Christians talk about another kind of news. We talk about the good news. And we use those words to speak of the presence of Christ among us, to remind ourselves in the midst of all of that other kind of news that Christ is among us and inspires us to consider faithfulness to relationships, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to all of those other relationships. And we talk about the good news that we are called together by Christ to come to this place or other places on a Sunday and to ask for the wisdom of God to support one another in following the sometimes difficult paths to better and just relationships. And when we come, we are reminded by our most important and ancient stories that even though we may be dislocated from the lands and places that we have loved, that God asks us to see this place through the same eyes of love. We learn to love one place, and through the learning about love of place, we can learn to love another. We are called together by Christ, who always called together people of difference. Lawyers and fishers, servants and wealthy, the Greeks and the Jews and the Ethiopian eunuch and the men raised in the synagogue and the women like Lydia who became leaders of the church and the men who had never in their lives before had to work with women. And the church of Christ and the Apostle Paul called together the immigrants in the lands of Greece so that Jews and Syrians and Europeans and Ethiopians found themselves together struggling to make a community and working for the welfare of the places where God had sent them. That is the legacy of Christianity at its best. And this Christianity at its best is, I hope, what we are trying to build here. Do I have a right to love this land and have a relationship with it, even though I was not born here and my ancestors were not born here? Absolutely. Do my neighbors have the right to that even though they are new to Canada? Of course. And through fostering that common love of this particular place that exists between the arms of the great river and the greater city on the shores of the ocean, we may also foster faithful relationships with human beings. And without that just approach to the land where we live, we may not. In the midst of terrible news of environmental carelessness and disaster, we come to this place today to hear good news that Christ calls us into these faithful relationships, and through even small things, greater things may be achieved. The good news that Christ's followers believed that God would be there every step, however small, and every meal. Sometimes we come because we need to tell those tales of possibility and optimism, and so I bring one. In the news this week, it is said that the efforts of people of goodwill around the world to reduce fluorocarbons that destroy the ozone layer has actually borne fruit. And a few years ago, it's not that long ago, where we were told that this might not happen for 100 years. It has borne fruit. There is evidence the ozone layer is repairing itself, slowly, minutely, such small gains. When we think it's hopeless, remember that salvation often comes from those small steps, those small faithful relationships with neighbors, those small relationships that are shared. Our lives are going to change through climate change and community change, and sadly through aging. The land may not look the same in 20 years, but still we love it, and we depend on it, and it is the source of our personal and community identities. And if justice means faithfulness in relationships, then this is what Christ calls us to pray for, and to work for together. For this I will pray. Amen.